Welcome to the In the Blues Tone podcast. My name's Shane. It's the 23rd of March 2017. This year is absolutely flying by already. I firstly want to say a huge thanks to all the current and brand new subscribers we've got at the In the Blues channel. The channel is absolutely growing every day. It's been amazing. So thank you so much for jumping on. We're very, very close right now to hitting 60,000 subs. It's unreal. If you are watching on YouTube, click the bell next to the subscribe button to get future notifications from my channel as well. If you're wondering if you can find this in audio form, you absolutely can. You can find it on iTunes or any podcatching software. Just type in the Blues and it will come up. Or you can go to inthebluespodcast.com and stream it for free from our website. So there you go. I thought I would start with what's going on with my actual YouTube channel right now. I see some comments that lead me to believe a few people are confused or maybe didn't read the description of a certain video I put up entitled No More Demos. One of the things that really helped me grow on YouTube were my pedal demos. I've done so many of them over the years that I really feel like I've kind of boxed myself into pretty much just being expected to do just one type of video for you guys, and that's not what I'm about. I've been doing the podcast for a while now, but as you can tell, I haven't done as many lately, mainly because I've had too many gear demos to finish up. Gear demos take hours and hours. I put between 5 to about 9 hours of work into some of them. The ones that I use the green screen on take me all day from start to finish, sometimes longer than that as well. My intention when I left my job was to not get stuck doing things I don't enjoy. Now that I'm doing this for myself and for you guys, I actually want to make it more interesting than just giving you the same thing over and over again. To be honest, I'm finding it really hard lately to get inspired to want to do gear demos. The only demos I will be doing in the future is stuff that I buy or maybe supporting some of the smaller companies that have just started out. They might only have one pedal, two pedals or whatever, and I help put them on the map. I really enjoy that. I like being able to do that for these kinds of companies. It's good for you guys. You'll actually get videos that no one else is producing. So that's cool for me too. I really like doing that. It's great for these companies that might not have any platform to get their sort of voice out into a market flooded with pedal companies. With that in mind, I don't plan on demoing any more than about one item per week. This is where it seems the confusion kicks in between gear demos and tutorial videos. I haven't posted a demo on YouTube in over 2 weeks now. All I've been posting are tutorial videos on how to use something. Tutorial videos can be based on anything. It could be a technique on guitar. I've done one of those. It could be about how to use a fuzz pedal, what mistakes people make when they're using an overdrive or something like that. It could also be related to amplifiers, EQ systems, or whatever. A few small comments on my channel led me to believe that people either couldn't tell the difference between a demo and a tutorial video, or they didn't actually listen to the context of the video. A demo is when a company sends me a product and I promote them. A tutorial video is me helping you. There's a huge difference in that, so keep that in mind. Just because the last tutorial video was actually based on a pedal, it doesn't mean I'm promoting that pedal. It can be relating to any pedal of that type that you've got. I didn't post any links in the video or the description to places you could buy either of the pedals that were in that video. I simply used them as an example. So please don't get confused between demos and tutorial videos. If you haven't seen the entire playlist and you're watching on YouTube, I'll post them up in the cards and you can check them out. Have a look at the difference between the content of these videos and my prior gear demos. So where does that leave me again with the gear demos? I still plan on doing them, so hang in there, but I won't be flooding them out like I was on YouTube. It'll be one a week at maximum. So this brings me to where my channel is and the scheduling that I have planned for my video releases. So let's get into this. So on Tuesdays, I have a particular section of a podcast going live. It'll most likely be this particular section. Thursdays, I'll be posting a help/tutorial video. So keep that in mind. These are tutorial videos. These aren't based on any particular product or whatever. They might have a product in the video, but that's not the focus. The focus is to understand the point of the video and to understand the gear involved and things you can do to make things work better. Saturdays will be Guitar Search Saturday. Awesome, I'm loving this series. I hope you like it. I've got so many fantastic comments about this as well online, and people are really looking forward to it. Someone said it felt like they were playing a video game, and that's just a really cool kind of thing to get some feedback on. So thanks so much. If you haven't seen it, I'll put the playlist to them up in the cards as well. I'm also going to be shooting some interviews as well. I'm not 100% certain of which day these will go up, but they'll be on days that aren't already listed. And between once to twice a month on a Sunday, we'll be doing the live stream hangouts with everybody else as well. So that's the breakdown of what's going on. If I film a demo that particular week on a product, it'll be slotted in on a day that isn't already taken with something else. I hope that's cleared up some confusion, not only in where my channel's going, but what's actually happening in terms of gear demos versus tutorial videos. They're two different things. And like I mentioned, the demos aren't going away completely. I'd be shooting myself in the foot if I did that. But the thing is, as I mentioned in that initial video I posted that was entitled No More Demos, it was basically saying, I don't want my channel to be one-dimensional and just focused on products when I have so much more to offer. If you're watching on YouTube, please let me know your thoughts in the comments below. I absolutely appreciate that. If you're also listening at intheblues.podcast.com, you can leave your comments there via the social network plugin. So for those who watched the first episode of Guitar Search Saturdays, you'll know I picked up that Silver Stripe PV Bandit with the Sheffield speaker. I actually knocked it down another $30 off the price it was on there, so I got it for an absolute steal. The amp works relatively well too. The only issue with it is there's a couple of crackles in the pots, odds are, because it hasn't been used for quite some time. I know a lot of people are going to ask me, what do I think about it in comparison to, say, my Red Stripe Bandit or even the new Bandits that are out there? I think it sounds really good. This particular model is, I think, a late 80s model. And the speaker is absolutely worn in beautifully. It sounds really round and smooth. In context to a live mix, I feel like it might not be quite as loud as my Red Stripe Bandit. I do have the Eminence Texas Heat speaker in the Red Stripe Bandit, but that said, I kind of feel like even with the stock speaker, which I've used recently as well, that the Red Stripe Bandit just has a little bit more volume. I'm not sure if it's just the speaker's more efficient, or maybe the speaker in the older amp might be on its way out. I'm not 100% certain. It's still definitely loud enough to get over a drummer. It still sounds great mic'd up as well. My friend Brian's gonna borrow this amp pretty soon and chuck a different speaker in there and see if he can get it to sing. I'm sure he'll be able to. My first impression of the Sheffield speaker is this. They sound really, really warm, especially at room volume. The louder you turn them up though, the more I noticed gets a little spiky in the high end, but the EQ system on the Bandit is fantastic. You can simply just turn the EQ back a little bit in terms of the high end and it will roll it out just enough so it sounds smooth. Another thing I didn't expect with the Silver Stripe PV Bandit is the cabinet size is actually bigger than the Red Stripe Bandit. It's slightly wider and longer as well, so it's quite a little bit bigger. I had the Silver Stripe Bandit sitting on top of my Red Stripe Bandit. I really had to balance it properly because it is a few centimeters bigger in every direction. Another thing I wasn't expecting too is the Silver Stripe Bandit is actually quite a bit heavier than the Red Stripe. I haven't got the specs of weight difference between them in front of me right now, but I do know when I simply pick up the Silver Stripe Bandit or the Red Stripe Bandit, there is a difference in weight and the Silver Stripe one is a bit heavier. I hadn't seen this particular Bandit anywhere in shops in Melbourne. Maybe ever, as I mentioned on Guitar Search Saturday. Since then though, I've found a few of them at different shops. They're just popping up out of the woodwork. A lot of people rave about the Sheffield speaker and I can tell why. As a stock speaker, I think it's even better than say some of the Fender Eminence speakers that they use. You may or may not know, I'm not a huge fan of those. But the Sheffield speaker is definitely good. These amps are loud, so don't take this the wrong way, but I feel like maybe the Red Stripe Bandit is just a hair louder than the actual Silver Stripe one. One of the strengths of the PV Bandit is not only having a really great clean channel, which I can use pedals on, but also having a really musical drive channel. There's basically three drive channels. So you've got your first gain stage on the drive channel. That's the one I like to use. I can dial in pretty much the perfect blues sound without any pedals. And that's what's great about it. The one thing I should also point out, I feel like the Silver Stripe Bandit might have a bit more low end on the drive channel than the actual Red Stripe one as well. It feels like it might be a little bit fuller in the lows, and that's cool. You can dial that in or out, obviously, but just as a rule of thumb, I think they might be slightly voiced a little bit differently. I don't often use the other two channels, but there's like a heavier crunch sound and a full-blown distortion sound on that one as well. The layout on the control panel is slightly different to the Red Stripe Bandit as well, but it's essentially the same thing. All in all, I think the Silver Stripe Bandit is a really cool amp. Let me know if you've got one or if you've got a PV Bandit that I haven't tried or demoed yet that you'd like to see me check out. I get a lot of requests for the Teal Stripe Bandit videos as well. If I find one of them or if I can borrow one of them off someone, I will absolutely do a demo of those. It's been since about 2008 since I used one of those amps live and I was totally digging it. I now have two Bandits in my collection, the Silver Stripe and the Red Stripe one. I plan on also hopefully borrowing another Bandit off my friend Alex. He's got one of the new generation ones, so we can do a bit of a comparison video between them all and see which one is the king. Please let me know if you've got a PV Bandit and your thoughts about them, and do you use them with or without pedals? That's also another thing that's great about these amps. Unlike most Fender amps, you can just plug into these without any pedals and dial in a really great sound. Alternatively, you can use them on clean with your favorite pedals and they work great as well. Bandits rock. Let me know your thoughts. This part of the podcast is aimed at one of my most frequently asked questions that I give the same reply out to a lot of the time. So someone will ask me, they'll give me three amplifiers or they'll give me three pedals and they'll say which one sounds the best. Now, in terms of pedals, this is highly subjective, you know, and I haven't had a chance to try every type of pedal that's out there either. So I always say the same thing to people when they're thinking about buying something new or thinking about doing a trade or whatever. They say, you know, how does this fuzz compare to this fuzz compare to this fuzz and which one's best for this type of sound? Now, the best thing to do is trust your own ears. If you've messaged me on Facebook, you'll know what my response is on the most part, unless I've used all the gear and I have a clear winner. Most of the time I say, trust your ears, listen to as many demos as you can in the style of music that you play, and take it from there. One will stand out as the sound that's closest to the sound you have in your head, hopefully, and then that is the best pedal. It doesn't matter whether or not some pedals are more expensive than others or whatever, just use your ears. Some cheap pedals like the Kalin stuff, for example, they make a really cool overdrive called the Blue Sky, which I would take over a lot of more expensive pedals based on the fact it just sounds awesome. So it doesn't really matter. I'm not going to say buy a cheap pedal over a more expensive one, but what I'm saying is trust your ears when it comes to the sounds that you're looking for. It's really important to do that. My opinions can help you or maybe sway you, but if you're dissatisfied with it, it kind of comes back on me. And I have messages from time to time. This was years ago before I used to say this, where I'd be like, I don't really like this pedal. It didn't give me what the sound that I was hoping for. That's because you probably didn't do your own research. So do your own research. Have a listen to as much stuff as you can before you buy any pedal. Make sure if you're going to put it in your chain, it's going to approximate the sound that you were hoping for. But I can't stress enough, listen to guys play a particular pedal that reflects kind of the style of music that you want to play with it. Don't go buying a pedal based on a metal demo and then you're going to be playing blues. That makes no sense whatsoever. I hope this has been helpful. This is one of the biggest questions I see every day coming in on Facebook is, which pedal's best out of this, 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 and this, or which amp's best out of this, 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 and this. So in terms of any of these questions, amplifiers is a different bag because you can talk about different power, wattages, and all that kind of stuff. But generally with any of this stuff, trust your own ears, listen, do as much research as you can, and trust your gut and give it a go. My final thoughts are always trust your own ears. Go for the one that speaks to you the most, and irrespective of if I like it or not, it doesn't really matter. I know I've demoed a lot of stuff and a lot of guys out there have bought stuff on those recommendations or demos, and I appreciate that. A lot of people that buy stuff won't ask me what I think of the pedal. They'll buy it based on how they heard it. And that's what it's all about. I demo a lot of pedals I don't necessarily like or would use. I try to remain impartial on these videos because I know everyone has a different taste. Keep that in mind. Whatever you like the best is the best pedal for your chain. This next section of the podcast takes a look at the difference in prices that us poor suckers in Australia pay for exactly the same guitar as those in the US. I know a lot of these Fender guitars are made in the US, some are made in Mexico, but check out these prices, and Fender what the hell are you doing? This is absolutely ridiculous. I don't know if it's just whoever imports them here is jacking up the price, but I heard the Australian Fender, so to speak, in quotations, is no longer. So these prices are just insane. I've picked three that we're going to take a look at today. We're going to take a look at a standard Strat. This is a Mexican Strat, the Elite Series Strat, and also the Pro Strat as well. So let's get into this. The standard retails in the US for $599. That's the suggested price. I'm sure you could probably get a deal. I remember paying around $450 for one at a guitar center quite some time ago. In Australia, they're $1,000 more at $1,499. Well, not $1,000, but $900 more. So $599 in the US versus $1,499 in Australia. Even with the exchange rate, that is absolutely ridiculous. I've never heard of a Mexican Strat in Australia retailing for $1,499. That's insane. I bought my Strat last year and it was under $900. So that's just crazy. I don't get it at all. But it gets much, much worse. Over to the Pro Series Strats now. And the US price is $1,399. Not too bad, you might be saying. Some might be saying that's a lot of money. But check out the price in Australia. They've added $2,000 to this. It's now $3,399. So just to recap, $1,399 in the States, $3,399 in Australia. That is absolutely mental. I can't get over these prices. This is just absolutely insane. If you're in Australia, you'll definitely feel the pain going shopping for this year's Strats and Tallies. Man, this is bad. But it gets even worse again. How does it get worse, you might say? Check out the Elite Series Strats. They're $1,899 in the US. In Australia, these particular guitars go for $4,000. $4,000. $3,999. Technically not $4,000, but so close it makes no difference. So $1,899 versus $4,000. Fender, if anyone out there is listening to this or watching this, fix your prices. Even with the exchange rate and all that kind of stuff, there's no way in hell these guitars are worth $4,000. I also have a lot of Canadian subscribers to the In the Blues channel. And I know they feel the pain on stuff as well, but it's nowhere near as bad as this. I'm sure in Canada, probably most likely anyway, I'm sure they just get driven across the border in a truck or trucks or however they move cargo over there. But it'd be a lot more cost effective than getting stuff to Australia, yet the prices in Canada are still absolutely higher, much, much higher than the exchange rate difference. I guarantee you this, even if our dollar picks back up and it's one for one again like it was back maybe 3 years ago now, I'm not exactly sure, it would have been sometime around there, there's no way the prices are going to come down to a reasonable amount. We might save a few $100 off this ridiculous price list that I've just given you, but we're still going to get highly extorted. Look at the difference here. Let's recap this one. The Elite Series one, $1,899 in the US. In Australia, $4,000. I tell you what, spend that extra $2,000, get a flight to the US, look around, grab a guitar, fly home. Do it that way. Why not? This pricing scheme reflects all the Telecasters and every other guitar that I've seen on their site. It's just absolutely insane. Even if you were to add a couple of $100 per guitar for import taxes, duties or whatever, and you know, transportation costs and all that kind of stuff, it doesn't make sense, even with the exchange rate, at least here in Australia. Let me know what you think of this, and if you think the price is ridiculous, feel free to comment below. Maybe Fender will watch or listen to this, and hopefully they'll take some action. I hope people don't buy a lot of new guitars at this price in Australia to sort of give Fender the middle finger. I love my Strats and Tallies, but at this price, they can go get stuffed. Thanks for listening. My name's Shane. This has been the In the Blues podcast for March 2017. I plan on doing more and more of these over the next few weeks, so stay tuned. On YouTube, I'll be posting one segment out of the In the Blues Tone podcast in video form, and the whole podcast is always available on iTunes. It will come out probably about 4 to 5 days after the first video that goes up on YouTube. That's the plan now. I want to have that initial thing going on YouTube and then have the podcast go up. I also need to find my login details for my podcast site. For some reason, I can't find my link anymore, which totally sucks. It might have been deleted by accident, but I have a backup copy of those details. So I'll dig through my emails and find that, and there shouldn't be any other problems moving forward. If you have some ideas of topic of discussion for the In the Blues Tone podcast, feel free to let me know either on YouTube or at intheblues@outlook.com. You can email me there, or at intheblues@podcast.com as well. My name's Shane. Thanks again for watching and listening, and we'll catch you all very, very soon. See ya.